from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, author, speaker, and host, Elise Ballard.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And our musical guest, Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe. I am Mark Lejeune, and now, your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is Filippo, and it feels like a party in the studio. It always feels like a party in the studio, but today we've got Elise Ballard in the studio, so there's a party right there. We love her, and we're having fun. But on top of that, yes, Mark, like you said, we have got Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe, and I know their music, and I can't wait to share it with the audience. So Lance has been here before. Actually, one of the band members has been here before. We'll leave that as a surprise until later. I'd actually like to start by saying that Elise is going to talk a lot about epiphany. And we're going to talk about what that is. But just the simple version of it, we can just say those aha moments when people figure something out. And knowing Elise, I know she's going to ask me about mine. So I know if I say something now, then she won't have to. Because the honest truth of it is, she's like, darn. Well, but the honest truth of it is it's a long story. And it actually is what this whole show is all about, is aha moments all the time. And I'm looking at Mark because we're always doing this to each other. And with Dorothy, too, we're looking at why did this happen? And how did this happen? And what did this mean? And this is why, one of the reasons why we want this on the air is because people don't know that these experiences are happening to them.
We could actually call it the Aha Show.
Right? Exactly. Or Aha, Life Changes.
Aha.
or Life Changes, Aha.
Aha.
Seriously. So the thing with me is, ever since I was a little kid, I always used to look at situations, people fighting or people angry or people happy. And I used to try and figure out what leads to that. What does that mean? And I don't know why I was always looking at that experience, maybe because I was a little bit introverted, but I would always look at for those moments of what does that mean? And then I would figure things out that people didn't figure out, like, well, this means this. And then when I try and tell people, they're like, you're crazy. Well, hopefully it's time now for people to either get it on their own, or when they hear it from somebody like Elise, like the story she's going to share, or like people like us or in the workshops that we do, that they'll go, aha.
That's something I've learned. You can't have someone else's aha for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. You know, you can kind of put it out there and maybe they'll eventually get around to it.
But, right.
You know, they got to hit their home run.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, seeding it, you know, like little this story here. And that's why I love
little ahs here and some ahs over there. And eventually they put it all together.
That's brilliant. So I don't know. There's nothing I can add to that, actually. I'm just going to stop right there. And when we come back, we're going to have Elise Ballard on the show. We're going to talk about ahas on Life Changes right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood. Made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients. All developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Kind of a We're back, and I am Filippo. I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeur and our guest, Elise Ballard, who is an author, speaker, a host. She's founder of the Epiphany Channel and author of Epiphany, True Stories of Sudden Insight to Inspire, Encourage, and Transform. I don't know anything that can be more life-changes-y. Welcome, Elise, on the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I could tell that while we were talking earlier, bantering back and forth, like you were like, yeah, yo, so go ahead. This is your time.
No, I want to know your story. You know I do. I was like, yes. I thought you were going to tell it right then.
Well, see, that's just it, is that all along that I saw so much change. And I wanted to know why it was changing. And then I saw so many things that didn't change. And I wanted to know why they weren't changing.
So how old were you when you started noticing that? I think people like you are really interesting. I interview a lot of people who have their epiphanies very young. And it seems like you're one of those.
As early as I can remember.
Really?
Yeah. I remember asking my mom questions like, why are they doing that over there? Or what's going on over here? Or why are you and dad? Or, and then telling dad, you know, you should. Da, da, da. And it was never well received, ever. Not the questions, not the suggestions. So I just clammed up, and I could probably say that it slowed down for a while. Mm-hmm. But now it's picking right back up. But I also know when to hold them and when to fold them, you know, when to walk away, you know, when to run, and when to share them. And thankfully, we have this forum to share.
Yeah. We're similar that way, though, and as I was listening to you talk, because I never, the old, just do it because that's the way we do it, or that's the way we've always done it, that never stuck with me. You know, I always wanted to know more, well, why? Why do we do that, or why aren't we doing it this way? Doesn't that maybe a better idea? Or?
Revolutionaries.
And that's why you've invented things, you've got patents, you've got an Emmy, I mean, that's why, you know, and me too. I've had several different careers and have achieved success in different ones, and now we're here. So, and you as well. Did you have this kind of experience as a child? I'm going to pretend I'm going to interview you, Elise. Let's do that.
No, I wouldn't say I was as precocious as you all, or prodigies in that way. I don't think.
Precocious.
No, I would say I was curious. I was actually more an imaginative kid, kind of like in my own world on some level. But I love people like you that, you know, I mean, that have their epiphanies at like 7, 10, 11, 12. I talked to kids at a TEDx event and talked to them about that, you know, someone, Diane Warren, I interviewed her. She's one of the most prolific songwriters of all time, mm-hmm. Diane. And, and she had hers at 7, you know, and then 11. And so the people like you that get on path, you get on path when you're noticing your epiphanies, that young, and having adults look at them and encourage that and see that. So,
it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
And you didn't have that, right?
Absolutely not.
Interesting.
No, quite the contrary. Mm-hmm. I got in trouble for them. So it's interesting to be able to share them now and actually see results as a life coach, right? Mm-hmm. And at workshops and have people walk away saying, you know, thank you, that helped me, blah, blah, blah. So that's why when I saw this book and we all agreed, it's like, wow, this is, you know, whether we're calling them, because all the epiphanies, If they're really that and people recognize them as that, then life changes follows, right?
Exactly. And the other thing to your point about sharing your stories, I found that this is so important of sharing these experiences. And I think it's important to share our stories anyway, but I love epiphanies because you can actually, you know, they're encapsulated in a story about your life that's usually positive where you're the hero. It's even got the hero's journey I teach about.
Yeah.
Where the epiphany is the call and then the hero goes on the journey. They take action. And then in order for the hero to finish his journey, he has to go back to society and tell the society the story, and they get the wisdom from it and the learning. And that's what I encourage everyone to do, is to figure out what their epiphanies are and then start sharing them and asking your loved ones about them, because you'll get such insight and wisdom from one another in doing it. And you're seeing that, I suppose, here on your show and in the workshops and classes that you teach.
Well, I think one of the beauties of the show, too, is we see them happen during the shows. How many people have said, oh, wow, that's the next book I should write.
Exactly.
Or, that's the next movie I should make. And it's happening here as we speak.
It's interesting watching both sides of that. You can have an epiphany or watch someone have an epiphany that isn't ready for it yet. Mm-hmm. Right? It challenges their belief system. It rocks their world. Or they then start realizing, oh, well, I'm going to have to do this different or give up that or whatever. And then it's, do they accept it? Do they step into that epiphany? And sometimes, yeah, it's an immediate change. Other times, it's the beginning of a process.
Right. Well, that's what I always say. I noticed patterns. I've interviewed hundreds of people by this time. And there's a pattern of every life change. I'm asking everybody about their greatest epiphanies, mm-hmm. you know, not just their everyday ones necessarily. But so my question I ask everyone is, what has been your greatest epiphany in life, the biggest life changers? And there's a pattern that happens every single time. People are listening, they're paying attention, they're open to these moments for whatever reason. They believe in these moments and what they mean to them. You know, it might seem insane to other people and to your own rational mind, but it's true for you. You believe in
right.
it. And the next thing that happens in order for an epiphany to change your life is that every single person took action, whether it was a tiny baby step, which is usually the case. And then what I call serendipity comes into play, which is, you know, it's like circumstances fall into place right after you take that baby step, having no idea what's going to happen next. And the second step is revealed, and then the third step and the fourth step. And it's as if life or the universe or whatever you want to call it is saying, yes, this is true for you. Yes, keep going. So that's why I encourage people, you know, you can have an epiphany and you can believe that it's an epiphany for you or believe whatever that is for you. But if you don't take action on it, it won't change your life. And what will happen is, and that you'll see this pattern and this theme in people's lives, that if you don't take action on it and you really need to do it. And I think epiphanies are wake-up calls to what we're all supposed to be doing on some level, that you'll get a little, you know, a bigger wake-up call, you know, and life might end up, you know, knocking you on the head. And some people are in absolute crisis by the time they take action. So, you know, if you're really supposed to get it, life will get your attention,
yeah,
you know?
You
that's another reason I encourage people, yeah, to get on and to get on path, to listen to these moments so that you're in more of a flow in life rather than having crisis change it.
Mm. People don't talk about this all the time. So as a matter of fact, some people might not actually know what an epiphany is. We've danced around it, mm-hmm. aha moments and things like that. What is the definition so that people that don't know can grasp onto it?
Right. Well, I went to the dictionary, and an epiphany is a moment of sudden or great revelation. And then since I'm asking everyone about their greatest epiphanies, I say to people, it's a moment of sudden or great revelation that usually changes your life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the simplest. But I always ask everyone, what's your definition of an epiphany? And I have them in the book, but there's so many beautiful ways that people describe it. But
there are so many beautiful epiphanies and beautiful things that have come from them, which looking, you know, a little later on in the show, we're going to talk about that. So, but before we do, we got a couple minutes before we have to take a break. You had an epiphany. Like, we have 30 seconds for your epiphany.
Oh, no. Not mine. Ready? I still want to hear yours. Like, the one that made you cry.
Oh, that one, right.
Yes. Which happens. A lot of times these moments are so personal that it's emotional. It's emotional for me, and it's emotional for the people that tell me. And a lot of times people came to me, and they were like, I don't think I've ever had one.
Right.
And then they come to me later, and they're, you know, I think I have, and they tell me a story, and we're both crying. So you want to know my epiphany that started this particular project?
I don't know. Can you do it in a minute?
I don't know. Basically, it is kind of a long story, and it's in my TED Talk, and it's in the book. But basically, I was acting. I'm a recovering actor and recovering indie filmmaker.
Okay.
And but I was in a play, and the role I was playing, the research I did for this role of this woman who desperately wants to have a kid, and she finds out that she's unable to. And she also finds out that her husband in this play has gotten another woman pregnant. He's had a one-night stand and gotten another woman pregnant. So at the end of the play, she has to go to this woman and hand her an adoption brochure. And so I did all this research because we adopt the baby at the end of the play, and everyone lives happily ever after. And I happen to be in a very unhappy marriage at the time. And I had been for quite a while, and I couldn't seem to extricate myself from the relationship, as so many of us tend to do sometimes, or get stuck in life, I should say. And from all the research that I did for this role, I was printing out the brochure that I was going to take to the theater one night, and I had this thought, I could do that. I don't have to stay. Mm. And in that moment, I realized the reason I'd been staying in my marriage was that I had this fear I wasn't even aware of, that I may not have a biological child of my own if I left. And I was made aware of the fear, and it was released from me in the exact same instant. I literally felt like 60 pounds snapped free from my body. It was wild. And I was finally able to start taking action to change my life. Tiny baby steps, but within a couple of months, my life was totally different. And I looked around. I was in a sublet, and I was single for the first time in years. And I was like, how did I get here? And my mind flashed back to that moment at the printer when I printed out that adoption brochure. And I went, I had an epiphany. That's what they talk about when they talk about someone having an epiphany. Do you think you've ever had an epiphany? I started asking everyone with these independent film things that I do. And one thing led to another, and that's how the Epiphany Project was born.
And the project turned into a book, and you've interviewed, and a little later on when we come back, I'd love to hear a little bit about Maya Angelou and Ali McGraw, Barry Manilow, Desmond Tutu, I mean, Clive Davis, Dr. Oz, I mean, Deepak Chopra. You've got so much here, and so many more. When we come back with our guest, Elise Ballard, we're talking about epiphanies on Life Changes.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our guest is Elise Ballard, and a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe performing for us live here at Studio NoHo. With our guest, Elise, what I really like about having you on and the conversation that we're having reminds me of when I was with a group of people who were talking about near-death experiences, and they were all telling about their near-death experiences, and then somebody turned to me, actually he's a famous near-death experience guy, and said, Danyon Brinkley actually, turned to me and said, you've had one, I can tell. And I said, no, I haven't. And how can you tell? He says, because people change after they've had one. And so he says, think about it. I bet you've had one. And I said, no, there was this time. And then I went and described this scenario. And he said, that's a near-death experience. And I said, well, I've done that a couple times, actually. He's like, see what I'm... But because I've never talked about it. And because it didn't fit the exact thing I've seen in the movies of that person experience or that person experience, I thought I'd never had one. But they were life-changing for me as well in a big way. So talking about epiphanies, a lot of people, we don't talk about this every day. I do. We do. But, don't say, oh, I just had an epiphany. You know?
Well, yeah. And a lot of times you'll have one.
And
you
had
don't.
Them.
Yeah. And, I will say, I didn't realize I'd had some until I started doing this project. And it was a couple of months after I'd had that one I just talked about, the printer, where I woke up and I went, how did I get here? And in my mind flashed back like a movie to that one instant. And I went, that was an epiphany. But a lot of times you won't in the moment go, I'm having an epiphany. You know, it doesn't work that way usually. But I will say, because I have been learning so much about these moments and been doing this now for several years, that now when I do have them, it's quick when I realize to something and I pay attention. So that's been really profound. It's really profound stuff when you start paying attention to these moments and taking action on all of it.
And it's interesting that thinking back on those in this consciousness, when you're younger, you don't realize the impact of that epiphany, right? You kind of, as you get older, you start to understand the word and you start to pay attention to it more and you realize you're having epiphanies. But now I look back and there's certain moments, like you were saying earlier, I was 5 and 7 and I can point to specific events that were clearly epiphanies and life-changing and impactful to this very moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us one?
Yeah. One of them is in science class. It was third grade. And it was all within the same day. But the beginning of the epiphany was getting the information in science class about the molten core of our Earth. There's the facts that I was taught. This is what the center of the Earth is. And then later on that day, there was a discussion about the fact that we had just broken like a 200-foot drilling record. And I'm like, hold on, we just 200 feet, but the center. So you're telling me, the center of the Earth is made of this. You're telling me, so what else is being given to me as truth that we clearly don't really know or don't have the facts for? And so that kind of opened up this whole query into and search for truth that I'm still on.
Wow. How old were you?
That one, I was 8, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. A lot of people have theirs that early, then they think about it. But yeah, you wouldn't have the context.
The 5-year-old one is more interesting, I guess, because that was my old school Catholic upbringing.
And I was Catholic too.
And the watching the people behave and learning the peace be with you in church, and then recognizing the same person that just offered peace to me and my family, cutting my father off and flipping him off in the car, because of whatever that happened
in the parking lot.
The way
out of the church.
You're
and
kidding.
I'm like, there's some sort of a disconnect here.
I had that one
so
too.
There's something wrong between what happened there and there. There's something untruthful about that process. And it started challenging is this real? And what we're enacting.
And that's another really great point that I'm so glad you're telling your story. This is another thing I noticed about people when they, a lot of times when they'd said, okay, this is my story. And then they go, oh, and I had this one. You start remembering other moments and other stories. And you notice a theme of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You start noticing a through line that your epiphanies always hold. Like for me, it's about fear and denial. I'm so scared of something that I'm in complete denial about it. And I don't even know it. I'm unaware of it. It's so deep, right? That's been my theme.
I would say the only issue is it was that.
Exactly. Well, I don't know, Whenever I feel stuck in life, I always go and look for. When I feel stuck in life, this is what it did for me. That particular epiphany, as well as when I had to write my bio for the book, when they wanted to do this book, and they asked me how I got, why was I an actress? And I realized I'd had an epiphany about that. And the same thing, I was in denial about what I really wanted to do. And I had the epiphany I really wanted to be a creative instead of a business person. And so, but now I took that epiphany and I realized when I feel stuck in life, I need to look around and see what I'm scared of for real. you know, like really go deep. And if I still can't figure it out, or if there is something I'm scared of, I get as much knowledge about it as I can. The more knowledge you get about something, the less power it has over you, the fear. So there are tools you can then take when you deal with these things. But to your point, yours is you started realizing your epiphanies were saying, you know, things aren't adding up. Where's the truth? You became a truth seeker. And this is a theme for your life. And this also brings up the point that I've discovered epiphanies, when you start paying attention to them, are wake-up calls to your own unique purpose. And I didn't even necessarily believe we all had unique purposes here until I started doing this work. And it's just it's unanimous, you know, that these are wake-up calls to what your thing is here. And that if you can get into it, if you can hook into your gifts and talents and to whatever is calling you, and be paying attention and taking action on it, you will get into a better flow in life, and you will be energized by life and fulfilled by it. I think the goal in life is not happiness as Americans understand it, but it's really a baseline of fulfillment. And this is a way, if you're paying attention to your epiphanies, that you will find that, and you'll be energized for life so that your personal life is energized, your career is energized. And then, and I was telling you this earlier, that people are reaching out to the world in much bigger ways. And you accidentally serve others when you are on your purpose.
And not accidentally. Accidentally and not accidentally.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you accidentally, like with this work, I love doing it. It is so much fun for me. I love it. I get to talk to revolutionaries. That's what I realized I love. People always ask me, how do you, you know, decide who you're going to ask? And some people refer people to me, they write into my website, or I'll meet people on the street, or they're my friends and family. But also I reach out to people that, and I realized what it was about them is that they're revolutionary in some way, like you guys.
So I have a feeling there are, I mean, for me, I believe there are, and I inspire my clients to think of, to answer questions that can help them have epiphanies or aha moments,
right,
or
yep,
understandings about their mission or who they are or why they're here kind of thing. So do you have like a couple questions that you could throw out that could help people? Like, you can't necessarily bring on an epiphany all
that's
the time,
right. Yeah, that's
but
right.
Sometimes a question that you ponder on and then a week later you think about again or whatever can lead to an answer that is an epiphany for you, right? So there are a couple questions that you...
Well, you know, and I put this in my new edition of the book. There are exercises in the back. I do these workshops and speak now. And so I put like some basic exercises for people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a questions also in, you know, about the book for like readers discussion questions. But the exercises have to do with those four things. And those are questions. You know, I think the first thing you start thinking about is what has been your greatest epiphany in life with the context that we're talking about. And if you don't know, then I say write about it. I think there's something about having to put it down on paper and be with yourself and a pen, you know, the hand and the pen and the brain and the vision, you know, there's something about that that's different than just talking about it. Or
I think that's hugely powerful. And, mm-hmm, you know, I think there's a big disconnect from people having these epiphanies and having this moment of insight and awakening, and kind of leading back to what you were saying and what I was, in a way, having epiphany on, is this disconnect from our realization of it or the embrace of it, right? So you have these awakenings, as you said, that's this through line. Mm-hmm. And how many times do you have to have these before you start saying, I should be paying more attention to that, or I should be owning it, I should be stepping into it?
That's exactly right. The most successful people in terms of worldly prestige the women and men you named earlier, and that we would all know that were world famous, and people that may not be world famous, but they're very successful at what they do, they all knew exactly what their greatest epiphany in life was when I asked them, and they had the details, and they had the visceral feelings about it. And they honored those stories, and they've been using it as a building block for their lives ever since. This could be a difference. So I'm like, guys, this is a tool that we all have, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what belief system you have.
Mm.
I interviewed everyone from atheists to religious leaders and everyone in between. You know, no matter what age you are, we all have these moments. And if you can start honoring them and hone them and have them to use as a tool for inspiration, for wisdom, and they change and grow as you do. You can look to them for, like I said, inspiration and wisdom, but also that wisdom, depending on where you are in life, can change. You can get something else out of it that you didn't get before. It's remarkable.
And interestingly enough, it's I didn't know that, you know, all these walks of life that you've interviewed, I never put it together like that. It's like, yeah, right, that is something we all have in common. And yeah. And maybe even more so, that maybe they happen in similar ways. And that one particular epiphany that I was telling you that I was sharing with a couple people in September, the people I was starting to share this with got chills as soon as I started my story. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, they're connecting with my story. Well, I didn't find out until later that the scenario that I described was exactly the scenario that somebody else had described just a month or so earlier to them. That was what led to their great epiphany.
Right.
So some scenarios repeat themselves. It collectively somehow.
Well, and the serendipity thing, one of the things I love the whole, and so your question about like, what questions do I ask? So the question of, you know, what's been your greatest epiphany, write it down. And if you don't know what it's been, talk about a moment. Maybe, you know, if you wouldn't have known your epiphany, but your near-death experience, you know how that guy got you to think about that.
Right.
Write about a moment that had a big impact on you, whether it was like your first kiss or a realization of some other kind, and you'll come to it. But there are these things like serendipity that I talk about, questions about that. Where is serendipity in your life? Are you excited about it? You know, do you expect it? Are you grateful for it? And do you take action on it? That can really change your whole, yeah. And a lot of it is.
And do you recognize it?
Yes, because do you know they've done scientific research on this, that the luckiest people, the people that are people who consider lucky and that they consider themselves lucky, that's what they do. I have some great stories in there that really, really exemplify this. Orion Williams has great serendipity. He's so excited. He has the craziest stories. But like your friends, that was serendipitous that you told them the same scenario and then they got something else out of it.
Right.
And again, they were listening to you and you were sharing. See how you're sharing, which helps you get deeper into your story. You help someone else have epiphanies, or you're sharing your wisdom, and it feeds it. A lot of people get their greatest epiphanies from what someone else said to them.
Mm.
So again, it's about listening.
And here it is. Well, the book is called Epiphany: True Stories of Sudden Insight to Inspire, Encourage, and Transform. You can get the book a lot of places, actually, but you can go to epiphanychannel.com. And there you could also learn about Elise Ballard, where she's going to be next, her workshops, her speaking engagements. You can actually bring her on for a speaking engagement or a workshop in your own city or something like that. I still want to hear about some of these epiphanies from some of these other people. When we come back, and a little later on after that, we're going to have Lance Laswell on and the Vibe Tribe. So we'll be right back after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our guest is Elise Ballard, and the book is Epiphany. We have been talking about epiphanies, and you know, I have to say that having read many of the epiphanies in here, that some of the people that are not well known are some of the most fascinating epiphanies.
Right, yeah.
And some of the ones that are well known, they're just kind of okay. but, you know, but since we know them, you know, it would make more sense to talk about somebody that people
would know.
You
know what I have to say, sometimes when I would do like someone super famous, sometimes I'd be like, oh, I didn't get anything dramatic enough, you know, but when I worked with it, because I got to listen to it and then write it sometimes I was in front of them, and then I realized they're more subtle. They might not be as dramatic, but
you had their epiphany for them.
I would. Well. No, I'll right. tell you, I didn't even get to put all the epiphanies I wanted to in this book.
Sure.
And so people always have, what's your favorite epiphany? And I was like, they all are different. Some different ones mean different things to me at different times in my life, but all of these, you know, changed me in some way. And so, and some of the most simple ones had the most profound effect on me.
So. Okay, so Dr. Oz, Maya Angelou, Ali McGraw, Michael Bernard Beckwith, Clive Davis, Deepak Chopra, Desmond Tutu. Out of those, pick one or two and tell us a little bit about their epiphany.
Okay. Well, Dr. Oz was one of my first interviews I did because I produced his exercise videos that he did for the U books that he
oh,
does.
Really?
Yeah. And
look at you.
And so what? I told you I'm a recovering filmmaker. So all these are recorded, a lot of them. I filmed a lot of them too. But so anyway, Dr. Oz, his was interesting to me because he did it so quickly. He was about to go into surgery, and we did it on the phone. So he said he was running the ER as a resident, and a family came in of Christian Scientists.
Oh, yeah, I like this story.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so he went and saved this woman. She was bleeding internally. He went and operated on her, and he came back out to tell the family, okay, great, we're done. We just need, you know, a blood transfusion.
Yeah, like a 10-hour operation or something crazy.
Yeah, and they were like, we can't give it to her. And he was so angry. He thought that he wasn't communicating to them, you know, the urgency, and that, you know, and he said it was a little bit of, how dare you, all my work, and I mean, she died. And so he thought about it later, and he said, you know, really, they had the hard decision. That was their mom or their loved one. And but in their belief system, that was the better thing for her. That was the best thing for her. And that was her belief system, too. So he had this epiphany that in order to be the best doctor, which also means teacher, that he needed to start listening from other people's world perspectives. And he said it changed his whole everything. He became a, you know, world-renowned doctor. He ended up starting one of the first complementary medicine departments at Columbia in the United, and maybe in the world, but for sure in America, because people wanted it and they listened. He started listening to other people in his life from their perspective. And now he has this talk show. And if you watch him, when he lists, the way he listens, you know, this man is listening with compassion. And his whole takeaway, I ask everyone after every epiphany, what was the wisdom gained or the lesson learned from your epiphany? Because everyone's got such different stories, but when you boil them all down, I found that they always come to these universal truths that we can all relate to. And he said, you know, it's the goal is to move from just knowledge, which is information, to understanding.
Mm.
Which is awareness.
Mm.
What we're really going for here is awareness.
I liked the story when I read it. I read it twice, actually, mm-hmm. and then you're sharing it, and it reminded me of one of those times where I wasn't appreciated, right? Where a family member had a stroke, and he was an older family member, and I had seen him like 10 days before he had it, and I just felt that his energy was gone and that he had no reason for being anymore. And then he had a stroke. Mm. So the whole family gathered around him and they wanted to save him and bring him back to life and all that good stuff in the hospital. And I remember sharing with somebody close to him that maybe it's time to let him go. And they said, you know, how callous are you? And why do you talk like this? And what's wrong with you? And I don't even know you and all these things. And then they did everything they could, and then they did more, and then they did more, and then they realized a month in the hospital, he was suffering, and he was only hanging around because they were trying to keep him alive. And then they started saying things like, oh, if the best thing would be if he just died already. And I'm like, and I was the bad one. You guys kept them a month, you know, sitting there in that bed, poor thing. And it's like, but what I learned from that was that though I might have been quote unquote right, though I felt that he didn't have a reason to live and wanted to go, that also the family needed their time to be able to feel like they did the right thing or they did the most for him, right?
Right.
So,
well, and it's that, what if everyone in the world, you don't have to agree with someone. He didn't agree with them, what they chose to do. But what if we listened to each other with respect and compassion? What kind of world could we have? We don't have to agree, but we could actually listen.
Look at the world through others'
respect
eyes.
Respect each other. We, in politics, in everything that's going on when we're going to war and doing, you know, we disagree on religions. And it, just if we were all listening, how different could this world be within families and in the world at large?
It's core. It's really core to this. And you know, a big theme for me has always been our programming. And when you're brought up in a certain sphere of influence and a certain, you know, culture, and all you have is that exposure, that information, that belief system, et cetera. And then somebody else was brought up in a completely different culture or belief system. And that's all they know. That's, you know, Mac and Windows. They're running different programs.
Yeah.
And so if you can put yourself, as you're saying, in, you know, the other's shoes, then suddenly you take the ownership away of the belief system, and there's an ability to be compassionate. I think what you're talking about is core to all the issues, you know, on the planet in terms of relating.
Okay, yeah. So one more. That was Dr. Oz. So
Dr. Oz.
Who do you want to talk about?
You know, another one that came up for me recently, and I don't talk about it that often, was Ally McGraw's.
Huh.
And Ally McGraw's is kind of one of the, she happened to go to a facility to get cleansed, you know, like a medical facility where she would get cleanses and do all this alternative kinds of stuff. And she did something with lights, she talks about in the book, and she doesn't know exactly what the modality was, but her epiphany was about, she was very controlling and always trying to help. And I think this might be, I don't know if this is women, this really, we relate to this. A lot of women have been talking to me about this lately, is about, we want to fix everything. We want to, you know, help everyone. We want to, in a way, and what Ally realized is that it was controlling. She was trying to control. And she said sometimes, you know, the most horrible pain that we interpret as horrible is really the gateway to something incandescent. And everyone has to go through their own struggles and their own things to learn what they need to learn on some level. And you can be there for people and love them and be in that light, but that to really not judge, because really trying to control and help in a way is judging, and not letting people have their own journey.
And it goes full circle. You can't have someone's aha for them, right?
Yeah. Like, and another thing that she said is that when she had this moment, also for her, it was very spiritual in the way that she knew, understood a lot of things about quote unquote God or the bigger, higher power or whatever, however you want to call that, intellectually, but she got it on a visceral level about what that meant to really love. And that's what a lot of these epiphanies have done for me, is to make me go deeper about what that means to me. Divine love, real love. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
But some Maya Angelou's was along those lines too. And so was Desmond Tutu's, about this sort of bigger love and what it really meant to them. And so when I heard their epiphanies, it made me think that I'd never really gone deep into what that really meant to me, you know? And everyone's different about what that feels like. But Ally also said it felt like elephants walked off of her chest. And when I had my epiphany, it felt like a weight snapped free from my body. So I thought, you know, that was another interesting thing that people talk about.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's one that I don't talk about that often. And then I was going to talk about the miraculous one. I love the miracle ones too. They're very dramatic. Did you read any of those?
We have a minute. So
that's it. Oh.
Give it to us.
Well, I mean, well,
and then people will have to get the book.
There's six sections. There's New Directions, Awakenings, Miracles, Healings, Comings of Age, and Callings. And I know what, we'll talk about Barry Manilow's, because there we have an accordion in the house
studio.
And I saw it, and Barry Manilow's was about, he was poor and his dad had left him and he only could play an accordion. That's all they could afford. And his mom got remarried to a truck driver named Willie, and Willie introduced him to music, to musicals and rock and all these music, a record player. And they all, his aunt and uncle and his mom and his stepfather, pooled their money and they rented him a piano and piano lessons and encouraged him. And he said, if it weren't for Willie, I know I'd still be playing my accordion on the corner in Brooklyn. Wow. So, yeah. And it's very, very.
Wasn't Willie Nelson, was it?
No, oh, okay. I thought it was giving. I keep wanting to say Willie Loman, but oh, I know that's not right
Willie
either.
Loman.
Yeah,
Death his of a name Salesman. There, but, is that?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't Willie Loman, but it was just such a point. He was a kid. He was 12 when he had his epiphany, and he calls Willie his epiphany.
Wow.
Yeah, and now he's got schools, nonprofits in schools for music to help kids be introduced to music and encourage them.
You are so much fun.
You are so much fun. This whole thing is fun. Can
I
come back?
First.
Absolutely.
Can I come in and film you guys?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
And interview you on my camera and come onto my channel.
Then I'll tell you the epiphanies. I'll tell you anyone you want to know.
I know you're.
And we can cry together.
Your listeners wanted to hear yours. We'll
I've shared so much with our listeners, and we'll be sharing more. I do it in the workshops and all over the place.
All right.
I was happy that we got to share you with our audience.
Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. This was so much fun.
It's been a pleasure. Elise Ballard, the book is Epiphany, and her website is Epiphany Channel. By the way, if you don't know how to spell Epiphany, EPIPHANY, EpiphanyChannel.com. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you.
When we come back, we have the band in the studio. We have Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
All right, we are back. And we, as a matter of fact, we're not the only ones back. The band is back. The last time we got to see Lance Laswell was when we had Danny Rashai on. And that was fun. That was in December of last year. And not only was Lance with her, but we had Nick Nafuzi as well at that time on bass. This time you're going to do bass and accordion. But in any event, so Lance, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing? We got Robbie Dean over here too on the percussion box there.
I was going to let you do it because we hadn't had the pleasure of meeting, and I didn't know what that was. I mean,
it's a cajon.
A cajon. Yeah. Okay, like
he's
El Cajon.
Later on, he's going to play the upside down bass.
So the El
Cajon. Upside down cake.
Wow, it's all new to me, and I'm a musician. Upside down bass, seriously? No, because he plays left-handed. Okay, I got it. And so okay, all right. So life changes. I just had an epiphany. So Lance, last time we didn't really get to talk on air, and this time I know that one of the songs you're going to play has got a really deep personal significance to you. Are you comfortable sharing that?
Yeah, We'll share that.
I'd like to hear that, actually.
You want to hear it now, or because we're going to play the other song first?
Oh, you are? Yeah. Okay. All right. So then I'll want to hear what this is about. But before you do that, then actually, tell us about the Vibe Tribe.
The Vibe Tribe is a group that I put together about a year and a half ago. And it's consisting of like different kind of musicians that kind of come in and out of the group. And then I'm kind of leading it and writing a lot of the music. And we're about to put out our second record. And this next record actually has like a lot of different people all involved on the record. There's different players on different songs. And Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, the drummer from Jane's Addiction, is playing on a few tracks. We've got Norman Fisher from Fishbone, who's a bass player. Plays bass on a few of the tracks. We have members of Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton's son, Tracy Clinton, is on there. And Eric McFadden's going to be on the record as well. It's got a bunch of all-stars on it. It's going to be a really fun listen.
Well, we're going to have a fun listen, but before we do, do you have a minute of epiphany you can share with us?
Wow.
Put them on the spot. While you're thinking, I'll tell people that they can go to facebook.com/Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe. And that's Laswell, LAZWELL. I should probably say Lance is LANTZ, right?
Right.
And we get to announce for the first time ever that the brand new website is coming up, and it should be up shortly after we air the show.
Correct.
So LanceLaswell.com.
Right. We also have a big show coming up at Harvell's on February 13th.
Ah, perfect.
It's my birthday is on February 12th, so it's kind of like a birthday show.
Cool. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And so, Epiphany?
Wow, I the main epiphany that I've had in my life is a pretty deep story, but I'll try to keep it short because I know we don't have a lot of time here to go into it. But this guy right here is actually involved in my epiphany that I'm going to discuss because we've known each other since we were like about 15 years old.
And say his name again?
Robbie Dean.
Robbie Dean.
Yeah, and anyway, there was a point in time when we were on adventures and experimenting on psychedelics and took something of the mushroom kind and went on a journey together and came back. And I was at the time was like going through a lot of philosophy classes and stuff. So I was kind of getting into the deep psyche of like the world and like where we were headed. And our teacher at the time was kind of like really wanted to light a fire underneath everybody. He wanted to let everyone know like how bad things were if they were to keep heading the same way. So he was just always just like smashing us in with all this, like the world's headed this way. And like, he was an ecologist and like a philosophizer. So he was just, he had a lot of, you know, different views, and he was really like intense. So I had all that stuff kind of coming into this whole like mushroom trip or whatever you want to call it. And I started feeling like we were just like little ants, and like there's nothing that we could do because we were just like so small on a big scale of everything. And how could we like change all the stuff that's already like been set into place for so many years? And like, how can we go against all that? How can we, you know, get something happening? You know, how can we change? Mm. How can we get a change? And I started to look at my friend, who was like one of our best friends because we were all in a band together at the time. And I looked at my friend Brian's face and I said, like, looked at him, I said, you know, one day we're all going to be looking at each other and the other one's going to be dying. And I started to get sad. And then all of a sudden I started to ask, like, what is there? Is there something else out there for us? And I started to ask that question. And I'm in my hands, I closed my eyes and I started to see like stars that kind of just had like little like connected dots, or they started making pathways. And I started to like all of a sudden got overwhelmed with the feeling of like, because I was sad and really saddened. And then all of a sudden I started to just like get a relief swept over me. And I was just like, wow, it's just like we just need to be pure and do like what's right, and then we don't have to worry about anything. Just know that we're doing like following the right path. Wow. And following like the being like the most pure and doing like the best that we can in our life, and that having that belief is all that you need. Like, you don't have to worry about like the what's going to happen after death, or as long as you do what you know is right, then you don't have anything to worry about.
Wow.
And that was like, it just came to me like that. I was like, wow, And so at that point, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I found, yeah. I figured out all I needed to figure out on psychedelics. I don't need to go there anymore.
Good for you. Good. Well, you
also part of the epiphany was like, okay, I don't need this anymore.
Right. Well, awesome.
Yeah. Life changes.
Yes. Applause, applause.
Yeah. Well, okay. In science, they're doing stuff in labs right now. They're trying to figure out how to induce life-changing epiphanies. That, to your point, you said they can't really force them.
And there it is.
But well, yeah, that was an example of using psychedelics.
Make a tea.
All right. What's the first time we're going to hear what's it called? We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the story, the second one. But what's this called?
Maybe Robbie wasn't there.
Okay,
so I think my mom's an avid podcaster.
Lance, what's this called?
This one's called Do It Again.
Do It Again. Yeah. We're going to hear Do It Again by Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe.
This is about trying to have an epiphany, but then getting sucked back into the old ways.
Thank you.
yeah, at least you can clap.
Oh. I was like, yeah.
I know, I feel the same way.
I was like, am I supposed to clap? So good.
But just my clap alone is not loud enough. They deserve it. When we have a big studio audience, they'd be right there with us, I know. Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe. Again, you can find him on Facebook at Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe. Or go to LanceLaswell.com.
I want to tell him the spelling on that, too, because it's a little different. So L-A-N-T-Z is my first name, and then L-A-Z-W-E-L-L is the last name.
Indeed. And is A-N-D?
Well, yeah, and is spelled the same. It's just my first name and last name.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not L-A-N-C-E, it's L-A-N-T-Z.
All right, so Robbie has now, he's you're not going to play the cojones? Is it the cojones? What's it called? Cojones.
He's
picked up the upside down bass. Everybody's changing instruments here.
This is the upside down bass.
Upside down bass.
It'll be hard for him to play the bass and the cojones.
All right. So before we get into this one, talk about life change, right, Lance? Just 2 seconds on.
Sure.
Because I'm sure you'll share it in the song.
This song was written after my mother passed away, and she passed away at the event Burning Man with me, and my little brother were attending the event with her. So she had a stomach aneurysm and passed away there right on the playa. Basically, life flighted her away, but when we got to the hospital, they told us that she took her last breath basically on the playa. Mm-hmm. And they weren't able to bring her back in the helicopter or at the hospital when she arrived. But that was one of her favorite places to be on Earth. And so I kind of feel like she wanted it that way because she didn't really tell anybody that she was having any kind of ailments or sicknesses or anything like that, because she was having some kidney problems we found out. I mean, not kidney, liver problems we found out later on, but she didn't tell anybody that she was seeing any doctors or anything like that, because that's kind of the type of person she was. She didn't want anybody to like worry about her, didn't want to cause a fuss. And she was definitely like one of the most amazing people that I've ever known, and Robbie knew her very well too. She was like a mother to all my friends and anyone that she came in contact with. She was kind of like a sage spirit, I'd say. So
wow,
having her move on was like a big kick in the butt for me to like be like, okay, you got to be the person that she raised you to be, and really like step up and like help people like she did, and kind of just like trying to like live my life as close to like the way that she was, Wow.
And the song is called?
It's called Borrowed Time, because we're all on borrowed time.
Till it passes you by, another star falling from the sky. I cry, oh, why must we watch the beauty of time? Never know how many moves you make. Never know how many breaths you take. Never know till you passes you by. You follow all the rules of a healthy life and not cry. Oh, why must we watch the beauty of time? writing on the line. Live life, drink all the wine. We're on borrowed time. The beauty, beauty, as I watch the beauty, beauty, as I watch the beauty, beauty, as I watch the beauty, beauty, beauty. Beauty, 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 yeah.
Talk about life changes. Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe. Lance, thank you so much. And thank you, Robbie Dean on the upside down bass and Nick Nafusi on the accordion. And the Vibe Tribe, you can catch them in their live performances, but go to Facebook, go to the Lance Laswell and the Vibe Tribe Facebook page or lancelaswell.com, LanceLazell. .com. It's an honor having you guys here today. Thank you so much.
Honor being
Thanks,
here.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Thank you again to Elise Ballard, and thank you all. We were here to remind you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.